All right. Merry Christmas. Won't get to see you again probably before that day. Got a little bit of an echo up here. Merry Christmas. We've been looking at Advent for the last 4 weeks. The awaiting or expectation of the arrival. Of course, the arrival we look forward to is the arrival of Jesus. We know he's already come, but looking back a couple thousand years, they had been believing prophecies that were spoken hundreds of years prior, and they looked forward continually through the generations to the fulfillment of that promise of the prophecy that a Savior would arrive, that a Savior would be born. And of course, we know his name is Jesus, and he has come. We look forward to the celebration of his birth. We look forward to this time of year, thinking about what the Lord has done. We've looked over the last couple of weeks at peace. We've looked at faith. We've looked at love. And today we are looking at hope, the hope that Jesus Christ brings us. I've titled today's message, Exclaim Hope. We should be exclaiming hope with our lives and all that we do, bringing hope to the world around us. That's what Jesus did when he was on earth. He brought hope to those around him that were hopeless, that were destitute, that were brokenhearted, that were outcast, that were marginalized in society. Jesus brought hope. Hope, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a feeling of expectation, desire for a certain thing to happen. Does anybody here have hope? Does anybody hope that I'll be done by noon? Okay, there are three hands. Thank you for being honest. I'll be done before noon, I promise. We hope in small things, and we hope in big things. Sometimes our hope is, man, I just hope that I get a meal today. Sometimes our hope is, man, I just hope I survive this illness. I hope I survive the falling out of this friendship. I hope I survive the breaking of this relationship. I hope I survive. Put your word in there. Put your phrase in there. Sometimes our hope is Jesus-sized hope. And sometimes our hope is I need to eat, so I should get a job so I can. What is your hope? What is your hope in? I remember as a child the hope and expectation of Christmas. Of course, I had an expectation of what I wrote on my list, that it would arrive under the Christmas tree wrapped. And Christmas morning, I would get to unwrap it. Anybody ever have that hope? A few of you, anybody have that hope this year? Cade's back there, he's got both hands up. He got a book he wanted last year, and he exclaimed hope when he opened it. I got to see the video. It was pretty cool. But what are you hoping for? What are you hopeful for? And do you know the hope that Jesus Christ has brought to the world because of his life, his death, and his resurrection? Because he came and was born on what we celebrate as Christmas Day. In Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 20, a little bit of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 20. In the first few verses of this chapter, they have just been summoned by Caesar to come to their hometown to be counted in the census. So Mary and Joseph load up on the donkey, head down the road to go to Bethlehem to be counted. Picking up at verse 6, while they were there, meaning Mary and Joseph, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. How many of you ladies would hope to go to delivery on the back of a donkey? And better yet, to spend the night in a stable. No hope for that? We hope it gets better, right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The angels came and exclaimed hope. The shepherds went and saw and exclaimed hope. What do we do with the stories we hear? Do you exclaim hope? This was hope of prophecy from hundreds of years prior that they had been waiting and waiting. Some of us need to get better at waiting. Some of us need to have a little more patience or long-suffering. The good news is they're fruits of the Spirit, and you can grow and develop them. You don't have to be stuck with your current amount. You can increase in the fruit of the Spirit. You can grow and develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The birth of Jesus was exclaiming hope. Promises being fulfilled, prophecy being fulfilled, was exclaiming hope. The good news and great joy that the angel talked about was exclaiming hope. Glory to God is exclaiming hope. Spreading the word, the Savior had come, and praising God exclaims hope. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, a little bit about hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, and the therefore is talking about us being justified through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. If that isn't hopeful, Jesus came and did what I couldn't do. Jesus came and paid for what I couldn't pay for. By his work, his coming as a baby, being raised and grown into a man, dying on the cross and resurrecting, that gives me so much hope. I have a future. I have life everlasting. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. If that isn't a hopeful passage, I don't know what is. Jesus Christ, who came for us because God loved us so much, And he paid the ultimate price that you and I could have life everlasting. And not only that, but he leaves us with the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our counsel. You ever face a situation that you're at the end of your understanding and wisdom? Like, I don't know how to do this. Hit the easy button. Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm at the limit of myself. I need to tap into my supernatural resource, the Holy Spirit, to gain some understanding. And that can be as simple as a project you're working on, or it can be a spiritual matter. It can be a matter of business or marriage or parenting. Say, wow, I am at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, show me what to do. I yield myself and my rights to you and your ways, because I know that you know all and can do all. Don't shun away from suffering. Don't worry about suffering. Suffering produces within us perseverance. Perseverance produces within us character. And character produces hope. I think as a child, I remember being young and like December 1st, Christmas was still like 8 years away. Anybody else remember that? It was still a long ways away. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, Christmas is in 3 days. I've got to go shopping tomorrow. Okay, I'm not that bad. But when you were a kid, that was suffering, waiting for that longing of, I wrote my list. Maybe you wrote it to mom and dad. Maybe you wrote it to Santa. Maybe you wrote it to baby Jesus. I don't know what your family traditions are. We did Santa in our house and focused on Jesus. So the kids would write their Santa list out, what they want from Santa. And of course, they got one gift from Santa because mom and dad are better than Santa. So they got lots of gifts from mom and dad and one from Santa. But that longing, that suffering, I just want to know what's in that box. And some of you are the ones that like pick them up and shake them. I know what it is, you think. That suffering produces perseverance. That delayed gratification. And we need to have that built into our lives so we just don't go after everything we want. Because that leads us down roads of addiction and issues that are not of God. But we need to learn suffering properly so that it builds within us perseverance, so that we can wait. God, I prayed and asked for this, and you didn't deliver it by Monday morning at 8 a.m., so I'm giving up on you. No, we need to learn perseverance to stay and be steady and remain. Christmas will arrive eventually. I'll get to open the gift eventually. And while I'm building perseverance, it builds my character. Not to go. Like, there was a moment in time when my brother showed me how to cut the tape and how to open the present to see what it was and how to put it all back together neatly. The suffering got to be too much. Perseverance wasn't happening, and character was greatly failing. And then you knew what you got, and on Christmas Day, I was like, God has some good gifts in life wrapped for us. He says, wait, wait, do things my way, do things in my time, and it will be so much better. So we build perseverance, which builds character. If we have character, we leave the gift alone until it's time to open. And when we open it, our hope is either crushed or restored. In a real gift setting, right? That's not what I asked for. That's exactly what I asked for and so much more. Character produces hope, and hope will not put us to shame. We have got to build in our lives perseverance, good character. Learn how to suffer well so that we can experience hope. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. What's a good recipe for hope? If you need it in an equation, endurance plus encouragement equals hope. Endurance. We have to endure. We have to have, sometimes we are the giver of encouragement, sometimes we need to receive encouragement. Sometimes we need to build our endurance, sometimes we need to help others build their endurance so that we can get to hope. 20 years ago or so, I was guiding this lion hunt up on the St. Joe River. And we had found this track right at dark the night before. And like, well, we'll come back here in the morning. We'll run all the roads. If he hasn't crossed out of here, he's up in there somewhere. And up in there somewhere is like 10,000 acres of forest and deep snow. So in the dark in the morning on vehicles, we run all the roads. The cat hadn't crossed out. I was like, well, okay, the guest and I at daylight will take off hiking on this track. So we start hiking after this mountain lion, and we're on snowshoes. The snow's knee deep or a little deeper. We're hiking and hiking, and about 6 hours into the hike, we still haven't jumped the mountain lion. My guest is getting very weary, so I have to use my extremely good guiding skills at this point and encourage him to help him endure, because we're a long ways into the woods now. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go on ahead. I'm going to push fast and see if I can catch up to this thing, get it jumped. So I'm like, just stay in my snowshoe tracks. It's pretty easy to follow. There's 2.5 feet of snow, and these are my prints. So I take off, and I leave in. I'm going with the dogs, and I cross a ridge. And as I top over the ridge, I check in on him. And, hey, have you made it down to that creek yet? No, still not there. Okay. I get over that ridge and go to the creek and the next one and climb over the next one. I call him on the radio. Hey, you down to that creek yet? He's like, I think I can hear it. I'm like, ooh, he's a long ways behind. And now we're about 8 hours into the hike. I'm like, well, I can hear the dogs finally. They're out ahead of me in the next canyon. When you cross that creek, there's a trail. And it just looks like a flat spot in the snow right now. It's not like road signs, right? It's just a little whoop. I'm like, that's actually a main pack trail. I need you to take a right-hand turn when you hit that. It's about 20 feet out of the creek. And follow that flat line along the creek until you come out to the road. We're about 3 miles up the drainage. And so I top over the next mountain, and I hadn't hunted this area a lot, and I was pretty sure through the snow and fog I could see a mountain that I thought was the mountain I thought it was. I was hoping it wasn't, because that's a long ways from where my truck is. So I hike on, I go down, I do wind up being near the mountain I think I am, and I realize I'm 14 miles from my truck. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I've been snowshoeing all day. And now I have, at least when I hit the main road, it had a plow mark, so it wasn't real deep snow. I had about 3 miles to get out of that canyon to the main road. So I'm like, well, we're here, we're alone, the other guys are hunting that way. Gotta go for it. So I just started trekking down the road, got the dogs gathered up. I'm heading down the road. And this is actually the night the Lord met me and called me to ministry. And that was a whole nother story. We're not going to get into that, but yeah, God and me and my hounds on a lion hunt. It was awesome. So I began hiking. I get down about 8 or 9 miles to the trail he's supposed to be coming out of, and he's still not out. Of course, this is like 3.5 hours after I last had radio contact with him. Try to reach him on the radio. I can't get him. Like, huh, do I hike up the trail and find him, or do I go for the truck? I still have about 6 miles back to the truck. I'm like, I'm going to give him some time because hopefully the other guides will come looking for me also. I had some hope. I was in suffering. I was enduring. I still had character in check. So I was hoping they would come looking for me. And I began hiking, and it was still another 2 hours to the truck. And I come around the corner, and there's a big sweeping corner, and I know my truck is dark now, so I can't see it, but I know my truck is about a half mile away. And at about a quarter mile, here comes the other guide looking for me. But I had to endure. I had to suffer a little bit. And then I'm like, well, he's still not out. Let's go up and check on him. We get up there, he's still not out. This is now about 6 hours after I had last talked to him. I'm like, this isn't good. And we were just getting ready, getting packed up and ready to head in, and we see his flashlight coming out. I was like, whew. Sometimes it looks like that in our spiritual life. We're spent, we're exhausted. We need somebody to come give us a ride. Sometimes that's a brother or sister in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we need to turn to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and say, I need a big pick-me-up. And it needs to be a supernatural one. Jesus came to give us that hope. But we have to be willing to endure with good character. We have to be willing to receive encouragement. We have to be willing to give encouragement so that we can get to hope that is promised to us. Romans chapter 12. There's a whole passage here we're going to look at, verses 9 through 21. This passage is titled Love in Action. But every one of these love in action points is exclaiming hope. If we act these out in our lives, we're exclaiming hope to those around us because they all say there's something greater than me that I'm serving, that I'm going after, that I allow to lead and govern my life. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. When we do this, we exclaim hope. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. When we do this, we exclaim hope. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. When we do this, we exclaim hope. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we do this, we exclaim hope. That's a pretty easy passage to read. It's a very difficult passage to live out. But when we model our lives after that, put our love into action, we exclaim hope. Sometimes you don't even have to use your voice to exclaim hope. It is much more than that. It's in our actions and our deeds. It's in our mannerisms. It's in our body language. Your voice can be telling me one thing, and your body language can be telling me a totally different story. Anybody ever have a text mess? Misread a text? Because you couldn't hear the voice, you couldn't see the body language. I wonder why they're mad at me. They're not really. Just came that way in a text. These are practical ways that we can exclaim hope in our daily lives. This is a good passage to read and exemplify your life day in and day out. Am I doing these things? Really good checklist. Am I honoring and serving God? Am I exclaiming hope to those around me? In John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11, Jesus, in living action, exclaiming hope in this passage. Jesus has just been away to the Mount of Olives to pray and be alone. In John chapter 8, verse 2, at dawn, he, being Jesus, appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Well, that passage is a whole message in itself. But Jesus, love and action. The law says to stone her to death. I want to know where the other party of the adultery was. One of my questions. Why did only the woman get drug out? But love and action. Jesus is exclaiming hope to this woman living a sinful life. The one who has right to judge and condemn her does not. But he extends to her forgiveness and love and grace. And he tells her, just go and sin no more. We are not the judge. We are not the jury. But we are to be God's hands extended in love to the world around us, that we would exclaim hope so loudly that they would know there is a better way, that they would know there is a hope and a future waiting for them that somebody else paid for, and his name is Jesus. Let your actions and your words exclaim hope. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. There is a future. There is a better way. There is hope. There is Jesus. Let your life, let your words, your actions exclaim hope to all those around you, that they may know the hope of Jesus Christ. There is a God who loves them. There is a God who thinks they're worth dying for and has already proved it. And there is life everlasting if they will choose it. With your life, exclaim hope. With your conversation, exclaim hope. Amen. Man, I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, that you loved us so much. God, that you sent your one and only Son. God, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And God, you did not send your Son into the world to condemn us, but God, that through him we might be saved. And God, we just ask that your heart in that matter, God, would be shown through us in our words and our actions to those around us. God, as we, God, lead the lost to you. God, by our example, by our words spoken. God, that they would know they are loved. God, that they would know they are cherished by you. That they would know there is a God in heaven reaching for them who loves them so much. God, I just ask that you would show each of us, God, in the areas of our life that we are not exclaiming hope. God, that we, God, maybe even portray hopelessness. God, I ask that you would show us and illuminate those areas to us, God, that we would, God, not lead people in despair, but God, that we would lead people in hope. God, that they would know there is a better way possible. God, that they would know there is something more. God, that they would experience the freedom that only you can bring. God, that they would experience, God, redemption that only you can bring. And Father, we just thank you for using us, God, as your vessels to be poured through. God, as your hands and feet extended to the world around us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.